Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. I'm your host, A.
And I'm B. Before we get into today's news, we need to open with a severe weather alert for the Grand Rapids area.
That's right. The National Weather Service is tracking a system moving into southwest Michigan that brings an increasing risk for severe weather. The primary time window we are looking at starts today at 3 p.m. and stretches all the way through Saturday afternoon.
During this window, we are facing a 100% chance of heavy rain, particularly peaking this evening at 6 p.m. and 9 p.m., along with the potential for thunderstorms. The main hazards are going to be localized severe storms, heavy downpours, and lightning. Currently, it's 67 degrees outside under overcast skies with a light breeze. But as conditions deteriorate this afternoon, the best protective action you can take is to stay weather aware. Ensure you have a way to receive alerts on your phone and plan to head indoors when the storms peak. The Storm Prediction Center does have our region in a low-tier severe weather potential, so a widespread catastrophic event is unlikely, but those localized cells can still be dangerous. The rain chances remain high through Saturday morning, dipping slightly to 91% by 6 a.m., before finally trending drier as we get deeper into the weekend. So definitely keep that umbrella close and stay safe out there. Now, let's move on to our main story today. For our main story today, we're looking at a new proposal from the Grand Rapids City Council that's already sparking a lot of debate across the community. The council is considering a comprehensive new set of regulations for e-bikes on local trails. Specifically, the ordinance aims to cap speeds at 15 miles per hour on all mixed-use city trails and would outright ban Class 3 e-bikes from heavily trafficked pedestrian paths. It is a conversation that honestly felt inevitable. If you have spent any time on the White Pine Trail, Kent Trails, or just walking along the downtown riverfront lately, you have undoubtedly noticed the massive surge in e-bikes. They are a fantastic, accessible way for people to get around the city, but the mix of high-speed electric bicycles and casual pedestrians is creating some very real and occasionally dangerous friction.
Exactly. To understand the city's approach here, we first need to break down how e-bikes are classified, because the proposed ordinance treats them differently. Class 1 e-bikes are pedal assist only, meaning the motor only kicks in when you're pedaling, and it cuts off at 20 miles per hour. Class 2 bikes also cap at 20 miles per hour, but have a throttle, meaning you don't have to pedal at all to move.
And then you have the Class 3 e-bikes, which are really the primary target of this new ban on certain paths. Class 3 bikes are pedal assist, but the motor continues to provide power all the way up to 28 miles per hour. When you have a machine capable of nearly 30 miles per hour sharing a narrow, paved path with dog walkers, joggers, and families with strollers, the safety concerns become pretty obvious. The safety argument was front and center at Tuesday's City Council meeting. Several residents spoke during the public comment period, sharing anecdotes of near misses and collisions. One resident noted that traditional cyclists typically slow down around pedestrians because they're expending their own physical energy, whereas e-bike riders can easily maintain high speeds without breaking a sweat, which sometimes leads to riskier passing maneuvers.
There is also a simple physics equation at play here. E-bikes are significantly heavier than traditional bicycles because of the battery and the motor. A standard road bike might weigh 20 pounds, but an e-bike can easily weigh 50 to 70 pounds. When you combine that extra mass with speeds of 20 to 28 miles per hour, the kinetic energy involved in a potential collision is massive. The city argues that a crash at those speeds isn't just a scraped knee, it can cause severe trauma. But there is a very vocal pushback against these proposed regulations, primarily from the commuter and cycling advocacy communities. Critics of the ordinance argue that the city is over-regulating a crucial piece of micromobility infrastructure. They point out that e-bikes are increasingly being used as full car replacements by residents who either can't afford a vehicle or are trying to reduce their carbon footprint.
That is a vital point. E-bikes have completely changed the commuting calculus for a lot of people in Grand Rapids. Suddenly, a 5-mile commute from the outskirts of the city into downtown isn't a sweaty, exhausting ordeal. It is a breezy 20-minute ride. Advocates argue that by limiting speeds to 15 miles per hour and banning certain bikes from the safest commuting routes, the city is effectively punishing people for making an eco-friendly transportation choice.
And they argue that the root cause of this conflict isn't the e-bikes themselves, but rather the city's infrastructure. The reason so many e-bikes are using the mixed-use pedestrian trails is that Grand Rapids still lacks a comprehensive network of protected, dedicated bike lanes on its main roads. Cyclists are choosing the trails because riding a bike on busy corridors like Wealthy Street or Michigan Street can feel incredibly dangerous.
Right. It is a symptom of a larger urban planning challenge. If you don't feel safe riding your Class 3 e-bike in the road with cars going 40 miles per hour, you are going to take to the trail. But then you become the fast, dangerous vehicle relative to the pedestrians. Advocates are saying that instead of banning e-bikes from trails, the city should be accelerating the construction of protected on-street bike lanes to give commuters a safe alternative.
The city council acknowledges that infrastructure gap, but they say building out a protected bike network will take years and millions of dollars, whereas the safety issues on the trails are happening right now. However, that brings up the most glaring question about this proposed ordinance. How on earth does the city plan to enforce a 15-mile-per-hour speed limit on a recreational trail?
That is the million-dollar question. During the committee meeting, representatives from the Grand Rapids Police Department were pretty candid. They stated plainly that they do not have the staffing or resources to set up radar speed traps on the White Pine Trail. They are already stretched thin dealing with broader public safety issues across the city.
So if the police aren't enforcing it, the ordinance essentially becomes an honor system, heavily reliant on signage and community etiquette. The city plans to paint speed limit markers on the pavement and install signs at major trailheads. They are hoping that simply establishing a clear legal baseline will encourage the majority of riders to slow down and be more courteous.
There is also a technological angle to enforcement, at least for the rental fleets. The city has discussed working with micromobility companies like Lime and Spin to implement geofencing. This means that if you are riding a rented e-bike on a designated trail, the GPS on board will recognize your location and automatically throttle the bike's maximum speed down to 15 miles per hour.
Which is a great solution for the rental market, but it does absolutely nothing to address the thousands of privately owned e-bikes in the city. You can't force a private owner to install a speed governor on their personal property. It creates a weird double standard where tourists on rental bikes are physically forced to go slow, while local owners can still zip by at 28 miles per hour.
We have seen other cities in Michigan try to tackle this exact same issue. Ann Arbor, for example, faced similar trail congestion problems, but ultimately decided against strict speed bans. Instead, they invested heavily in an education campaign. They hired trail ambassadors to hand out informational flyers and essentially try to build a culture of mutual respect between cyclists and pedestrians.
Some Grand Rapids council members are pointing to that education-first model as a better alternative to an outright ban. They worry that passing a law that the city openly admits it cannot effectively enforce will just breed resentment and undermine the rule of law. If people know they won't get a ticket for going 20 miles per hour, the speed limit sign becomes essentially meaningless.
Another layer to this debate is how it intersects with the massive riverfront development plans the city just approved last week. With a new 12,000-seat amphitheater and significant new housing developments coming to the riverfront, the pedestrian traffic on those adjacent trails is going to explode. The city is trying to get ahead of that density.
Exactly. If the trails feel crowded now, imagine what they will look like when thousands of people are walking to a concert on a Friday night. The city argues that establishing these e-bike regulations now is a necessary proactive step to ensure the riverfront remains a safe, welcoming environment for everyone, not just commuters passing through.
It really highlights the growing pains of a city that is trying to modernize its transportation network while also increasing its downtown density. You want to encourage alternative transit to reduce car traffic and emissions, but you have to manage the physical space where all these different modes of transport intersect.
The city council is scheduled to hold a final public hearing on the proposed e-bike ordinance next Tuesday evening before putting it to a formal vote. Given the passion on both sides of this issue, from the daily commuters to the neighborhood associations, it is expected to be a packed house.
If you use the trails, whether you're walking your dog or riding your e-bike to work, this is definitely a meeting you might want to tune into or attend. The outcome will set a major precedent for how Grand Rapids handles micromobility going forward.
It's a complex issue, and we'll keep you updated on how the City Council votes next week.
For now, let's pivot and hit a few more local stories making headlines. Sounds good. Here's what else is going on around West Michigan.
First up, the annual equalization report for Kent County was just released, showing that residential property values have seen a record-breaking 8% increase for 2026. This marks the fifth consecutive year of significant growth in the county's tax base.
While that is fantastic news for current homeowners who are seeing their equity skyrocket, it's undoubtedly putting an even tighter squeeze on first-time buyers trying to break into the highly competitive Grand Rapids housing market. Local real estate agents are noting that inventory remains near historic lows.
In downtown news, Founders Brewing has officially announced a major expansion of their Grand Rapids taproom. The project will include the construction of a massive new outdoor beer garden and an expanded production facility to keep up with regional demand.
It is always great to see a local staple continuing to invest in their footprint here, especially following the recent string of downtown developments. With the summer tourist season rapidly approaching, that new outdoor space is going to be an incredibly popular destination for both locals and visitors.
Finally, the Grand Rapids Public Museum officially broke ground this morning on a new state-of-the-art educational wing. The multi-million dollar expansion is expected to double their capacity for hosting school field trips and STEM workshops.
That is a huge win for local education. The museum has been operating at near capacity for its student programs over the last few years, so this new wing will ensure thousands more kids across West Michigan get access to those hands-on learning experiences.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily. As always, we appreciate you taking the time to start your day with us and staying informed on what's happening around West Michigan.
Absolutely. Remember to stay weather aware this afternoon and evening with those severe storms rolling in. Keep an umbrella handy, stay safe, have a wonderful weekend, and we will catch you back here on Monday morning.